We have a gentleman joining us who will be headed to Atlanta next week, playing in the Tour Championship. But he's like, for the very first time, he got in, probably had some anxious moments last week. After he finished to find out whether or not he was getting in. But it's Scott Piercy, winner of the RBC Canadian Open this year. Scott, thanks for being a part of the show. How's it going, bud?
I'm doing all right. You guys all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. I mean, not as well as you. You've got a chance to win $10 million next week.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a chance. I need a lot of stars to line up and the planets to align and, you know, all that fun stuff with where I sit. But there's a chance.
You know what, though? There's a 100% chance that you're going to play in some pretty cool golf tournaments next year. I know that winning the Canadian Open had already guaranteed you a spot in Augusta next year. But you can, for the first time ever, looking forward next year, pick your own schedule for the first time in your career. That has to be a very nice feeling.
For sure. It's one of those things that I haven't had the chance to do really yet, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. So can you hear me?
Sorry. Yeah, I can hear you. You faded out there for a second, but you're back.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those things that I'm looking forward to, and that you know, this year I'm playing a lot of golf and I'm exhausted right now, but, you know, there's still some good things that could happen. And next year, hopefully I'll be a little more rested throughout the whole year. And, you know, picking my schedule shouldn't mean a whole lot. So I'm excited.
You've kind of done this for a couple of years now. I was working for the Golf Channel. I was with you last year when you won the Reno Tahoe Open. You actually had a family vacation scheduled the next week, but lo and behold, you have to go to Atlanta. There's something going on here with you in Atlanta and golf tournaments that you play your way into, because you went to Atlanta, obviously, for the PGA Championship, which qualified. Now you're in the Tour Championship, again, in Atlanta. There's a nice little circle there.
Yeah, maybe I should move to Atlanta, I guess, huh? You know, it's funny, because a couple of years ago, I finished eighth at the Greensboro tournament just to get into the playoffs, and it was, you know, and now it's, you know, I was last guy in there, 125, and now I'm, you know, just getting barely in by the skin of my teeth into the top 30. So it's been a good progression, definitely.
Well, let's talk about the progression, because obviously, is there anything that you can put your finger on that you've learned in the last 3 or 4 years on the PGA Tour that make you a better player? Physically, you're still probably about the same, I would think. I mean, you're still long and straight. You still putt it good. All those things came together. What's made you a better player over this course that's taking you to the Tour Championship next week?
Well, I think one of the biggest things for me was I started working with Chris O'Connell and Jim Hardy 2 years ago at John Deere. And it was almost a year later that I won my first event. And, you know, it was almost exactly a year later that I won my second event. And I think what that did for me was it allowed me to actually know where I was hitting the ball every time. And, you know, it gave me a chance to go play rather than work on my swing on the golf course, because I was scared to know where it was really going. So, you know, I think that's the biggest factor, because, you know, now I could just go play golf rather than working on my swing. So they've really helped me a lot, and, you know, my short game has kind of always been there. You know, I'm a pretty good putter generally, and, you know, it gave me some confidence. You know, these bigger tournaments that I'm not used to being into, I've always wanted to be into, but, you know, I'm starting to get used to, you know, being there rather than wanting to be there, and that's a big difference that, yeah, you're not, unless you're there, you don't always know how to, you know, what, don't know how to feel or, you know what's going to happen. So, you know, getting used to being there is I think my next step and where I want to be. And, you know, it's just, you know, I think that's the progression of where things are going. So I'm excited, and I'm glad to be, you know, with, you know, a lot of the top players in the world. And, you know, that's where I feel like I should be. So I'm excited.
Your second win on the PGA Tour came this year. We're talking to Scott Piercy up in Canada. How important was number two? A lot of guys have one. The percentages go down for the guys who get the second one. And I'm not suggesting that you're done now. I think you have an awful lot of trophies left to fill the mantle, yet to fill your mantle. My point is that did you feel like there was validation? Yes, this proves that I belong in the winner's circle on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't the typical sort of, all-American prodigy out of college that's supposed to win, be the next Tiger Woods or the next great thing. And, you kind of have to prove yourself when it comes to, you have to earn your respect on tour. And, after the first one, and then, Reno's a great tournament, but it's one of the smaller tournaments. It's kind of, I felt like even though I won that, I still had more to prove. And, as far as people looking at me, it was more of I still felt like I had more to prove. And went in Canada, which, the history with that, which I still don't know all of it, but it's one of the oldest tournaments. It was considered sort of the fifth major, back in the day. And, it's a national open. I think that winning that one was a lot of validation in my mind that, it just wasn't luck and that it, the respect factor, I think, was, I got a little more respect from, winning the second time, definitely.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I've heard that from other players, obviously. I would have loved to have just gotten one somewhere along the way. How hard was it not to be back in Reno this year? Obviously, with the Canadian Open win, you qualify for Bridgestone, so you didn't get to go defend. And I think that that's kind of it had to be hard to not. I mean, obviously, you'd love to be in Bridgestone because it's a tremendous event. It's a World Golf Championship event. But was it hard not to go back to Reno?
Yeah, it's bittersweet because it's your first win, and I never when you went on the nationwide tour. Generally, you don't defend because hopefully your wins kind of propel you to the tour. And, after winning in Reno, I was like, well, here we go again. I don't even get to defend. So, good thing it was, kind of on to a bigger tournament, a world stage, which, I definitely won. And it was bittersweet, definitely. I wish I could have defended, but I did the media day. The Monday before Canada, so I flew up to Reno, did media day on Monday, flew home, and then flew to Canada on Tuesday, played Canada, and then went straight to Firestone. So I did all my obligations up in Reno and, was lucky enough to win and not have to go back. But looking forward to defending next year in Canada.
Yeah, no question. I don't even know where the Canadian Open is next year, but it won't be back at Hamilton, that's for sure, for another – Yeah, is it at Glen Abbey? So right there, yeah. Based in the same neighborhood. One thing about winning in Canada, my friend, you'll never have to buy your own beer in Toronto again. Somebody will always buy it for you.
It seems like everywhere I've gone since I've won in Canada, there's a golf course related or golf related. There's a Canadian guy sitting there waiting for me, with a big grin on his face. Like, oh, I get to meet the Canadian Open champ, which is kind of funny. So it's kind of cool at the same time, but it's fun.
You've had month and a half now for it to sink in that you're going to play Augusta next year.
Yep.
What does that mean to you?
I'm excited. Your whole life, you see Augusta on TV and you want to play there and you hear all the great things about it. And, you're like, well, I want to play there. Well, how can I get on? And, you have to be invited and you have to know a member. And, it's pretty tough, and I had never played, and I said, well, I don't want to really play until I'm in the tournament. And literally, I had arranged a practice round at Augusta 2 days after I'd won. So that's how quickly the doors kind of open for you when you do win, and they know that you're going to be there. So I'm excited, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what? I had that exact same attitude when I was on tour. I'm not playing until I'm in the tournament. And I'm 44 years old now, and I've never played it.
Well, you got to get back out on tour, man. Come on.
I am. I'm on tour every week. I just talked to you guys, and let me tell you something. I haven't had a 5-footer that I cared about in about 7 years now.
And you haven't missed one probably either, huh?
Yeah, I haven't missed one either. There's no stress there. Let's talk about next week. Obviously, just 30 guys in the field, probably the smallest field you've ever played in. I mean, even the Nationwide Tour Championship when you were out there had 50 or 55 guys in it. That's kind of cool in and of itself. You're playing twosomes right out of the gate on Thursday.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I think the closest tournament was Tournament Champions this year in Kapalua. I think there was 34 or 35 guys. So, you know, twosomes are great. You fly around the golf course in 3.5 hours rather than 5 hours, which is awesome. And, you know, it makes for a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. When you get there, do yourself a favor. Take the time to look around the clubhouse, particularly in the lobby area where all the Bobby Jones memorabilia is. It is absolutely worth a few minutes of your time.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to do that.
Yeah,
it'll be my first time there, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you earned it. I mean, that's the one thing about it is that this is something that no one can take away from you. You're in the top 30 in FedEx Cup points. You've earned your way there. Talk about after you finished last Sunday, how long did you have before you knew, and what were you doing for that period of time?
I was in the players' lounge or locker room area where the TVs were, getting some food and showering and getting packed up to leave. And I actually watched it all the way until BJ bogeyed 16 and 17. And as soon as he made bogey on 17, that basically kind of sealed both our fates. And, you know, with him getting knocked out and me getting, you know, put in the field. So he would have had to hole it from the fairway on 18 in order to switch it around. But I watched probably 3 hours worth of coverage, maybe more. I think the leaders were on 7 or 8 when I started watching. So it was a lot of
Tell me you were drinking a beer or something on the phone, playing games, something so that you weren't just sitting there stressing.
I think I chewed all my fingernails off, to be honest with you, but I didn't really know, you know, I didn't really think that when I got done I even had a chance, and I was kind of okay with that because I didn't want to continue to beat myself up, you know, missing it. So, but the longer I sat there and the more I watched, I'm like, man, it's playing tough today. And, you know, there might actually be a chance that I sneak into this thing. And it was, you know, and the more I watched it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need these 5 guys to help me out. And I need two or three of these 5 guys to help me out. And, you know, BJ was a big part of that, you know, if he would have finished top 5 or better, he would have put my lights out. You know, I was definitely lucky, got in there by the skin of my teeth, and, I never root against anybody, but I was definitely wanting to get in for sure, so.
No, and of course you're not going to root against somebody. I mean, you know, you put up your number, and you just sit there and wait, and whatever happens, happens. You know, you already had accomplished so much this year that this is, I would think, you know, obviously one of the goals, but icing on the cake in some ways as well.
You know, it definitely is. Once I got close, you know, I mean, I came into the playoffs ranked 15th. So, you know, I'm excited to be in the Tour Championship, but I'm not probably as excited as if I would have been if I was like 40th and moved my way in, because I kind of felt like I should have been there. But it definitely, you know, makes this year, like you say, more icing on the cake, which, you know, it's already been a good year. It was a good year before I had won, and, you know, that made it kind of a great year. And, you know, and just anything on top of it's kind of just gravy from now. So it's, I was going to play Malaysia and China, which is big world ranking points and, you know, free money, so to say. And so the year's, you know, I've already doubled last year's money, which was my best year, you know, to date last year. So I've doubled that. I've had been really consistent when I've played well. I've finished in the top 25 the majority of the time. You know, so it's really been a great year, and you know, with a chance to win the $10 million, and you know, it's just so many doors are open. You know, with playing well, it's just amazing. I'm almost overwhelmed with how much has been, you know, open for me. And you know, wrapping your head, you know, as a player, you know it, but until it's actually available to you, it's, you know, it's not real. And now it's kind of real. And you know, as much as it is, it's a lot to take in sometimes. So it's fun. It's a good problem, but you know, it's just something more to deal with, which is good.
That's why you have the good people around you, though. That's why you have your agents and what a great group of folks you're with there. You know, that's why you have all those people, because they can say a word that is very hard for you to say, and that word is no.
Yeah. you're so right about that, which is, you know, I like to be a people pleaser and, you know, help the club as much as I can. I like to give back and, you know, and... You know, it's like you always get the puppy dog eyes. You know, can you help? Can you do? And you're like, oh, my gosh, you're tugging on heartstrings. So, you know, it sucks to have to tell people no. But, you know, at the same time, I'm going to end up playing either 30 or 31 times this year, which is way too much. But, yeah. You know, so in order, you know, I got to start telling people no. But, I've met so many people that have helped me along the way that, you know, you feel an obligation to, you know, play that tournament or go do that outing or, you know, and it's going to be tough to, you know, to set that schedule, how I need to do it in order to be rested, to be, you know, fully ready to play. So, you know, there's good, there's a lot of good with it, and there's, you know, there's some bad that goes with it too, but you got to take it.
Well, I tell you what, Scott, we really appreciate the time here on your week off. I'm assuming you're home. Enjoy being home.
I've been at Sam's Club. I've been unloading groceries. Now I just got home. I'm unloading groceries again. So, you know, it's back to being a dad and a husband and, you know, playing, you know, trampoline and go swimming with the kids. So it's nice for the kids to, you know, get to spend time with the kids since we're on the road so much.
No doubt about it. Go enjoy your family, Scott, and we'll see you next week.
All right, John. I appreciate it, bro.